Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. Whenever or wherever you are listening, thank you for joining us. You are now rocking with the best. As always, big shout out to the Minister of Social Information, Brother B. Make sure you check out his work on all social media platforms. Also, please subscribe, rate, and review. You'll be doing us a huge favor, a huge solid, helping us grow this show. Best way for us to grow is to have a great guest. And today's show is going to be good money, just to say the least. On today's show, from the Ontario Reign of the AHL, teammates of one half of the Get Busy Boys, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Quinton Byfield, and Boku Imama, here to talk about that amazing night last week, playing together, all things LA, and just having a bunch of fun. But first, Double Trouble is, of course, in the house. The Get Busy Boys, Akil Thomas, Elijah Roberts. What's Gucci, boys?
I'm just cool, and, you know, it's kind of been a busy week for school. I just had 2 5-page essays due, so I spent a lot of time working on that. But, you know, now that I'm done that, for the most part, just a few more classes and then studying for exams, and then, you know, I'm done with first year.
Elijah, you know... And Akil, if you're seeing this, like his view from his balcony is looking pretty sick. You must be loving it out there, Elijah, in the dot. Look at him. You got the CN Tower behind you, the whole nine yards.
See, the thing is, the funny thing about that, Kwame, is, you know, Elijah has, you know, sick place, right? Like, it looks like it'd be super fun to go there, but our friends back home, they've yet to receive an invite there, and it appears that Elijah has people over once a weekend, and they just appear to not be our friends that we thought we were, you know, a very, you know, close and tight friend group. But it appears that Elijah just refuses to have his closest friends there, so I'm not sure what he's thinking there.
Well, here's what I have to say about that. So we have a group chat, the one we've talked about it before. There's there's 12 people in the group chat.
Yeah.
About 6 or 7 of the guys are in the States or playing somewhere for hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the other group of guys I'm not as close with as the guys who aren't here. Mm-hmm. And the people that we do have over, it's kind of just like our bubble of people. I still go home a lot, and, you know, with COVID out there, it's not necessarily smart to be having different people over all the time. So when we hang out with those people, it's just kind of, we hang out with them, they hang out with us. We don't really hang out with any other people. So, as things open up in the summer and, you know, vaccines roll out and COVID dies down a little bit and the numbers lower down, then, you know, of course I'll have all of my friends over. And, you know, maybe if Akil keeps trying to call me out and acting up like that, he might not catch an invite when he gets back.
You know, that was a very good answer. I'm very impressed. But, you know, does that mean you're breaking protocol then, just having people over all the time?
No comment.
I think he's not, because I believe he says he's got a small group of people that are inside the bubble that are being safe, and those are the ones that he's hanging out with, right? Am I correct on that?
Yeah, it's usually just the same people, and yeah, we either go to their place or they come to our place, and we don't really hang with anyone else, and neither do they.
All right. Akil Thomas, L.A., what's going on? How you doing?
Not much. The weather's been pretty good. I'm still the most handsome here, and life is good. Been playing a lot of games recently, so
yeah,
the body is mosh up for sure. I'm... Like all the boys are kind of going down like flies. A guy, well, Boko, like, did something to his hip, hasn't been playing. A guy broke like a part of his knee. Guy tore his groin. A guy sprained his ankle. My roommate broke his collarbone, had surgery. A guy broke his wrist or his hand, so he's out. So yeah, we have a lot of players right now. Everyone's healthy, and everyone's feeling good, and we're not fatigued at all.
Just give Rob my number if He's looking for some extra bodies, you know?
Yeah. Well, call right, Elijah.
I'll pass it along.
No new updates on our NHL 21 mini tournament as schedules are not, you know,
coincide. We have an update.
We do have an update. We do have an update.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's get that update. I'm sorry. I wasn't informed.
Yeah. Not much of an update, but I played Elijah twice more times and he took one game. I took one. So
what? How are you beating Elijah like that?
I'm just better, right? So it makes sense.
I don't know. Akil knows the way I play, but, you know, I've been working to change my play style to kind of adapt to the way that he plays. So what is it, 4-3 now, Killer?
Yeah, 4-3 me.
4-3.
So, I mean, he did get lucky, you know, three times. It was a fluke.
Akil went up 3-0 in the game that I ended up winning. So.
Whoa. Okay, well. What I find interesting is that, Akil, you have figured out how to beat Elijah, and I just cannot.
It's not really interesting. I'm just like, it's not really interesting that, like, LeBron James is, like, the best, right? He's just the best, and he just shows up to every game and dominates. So it's not really interesting. There's nothing much there to it.
There's no science to it. No. Well, we are still only 2 games into our thing. So it's going to be interesting when you and I play to see if that same magic happens or if it was just a fluke that I took that game from you and you were able to beat me in shootout. So
it's just going to be more interesting for me to see like when you're going to stop dodging me, right? Because something has to happen every time I ask you to play. There's something.
What do you mean?
It's what happened last time I asked you to play.
My son woke up in the middle of the night. What do you want me to do?
No, I think you got on and, like, you know when your hands are sweating and your joystick gets all wet, like, I think, like, your hands are just so sweaty that you're like, yo, I can't even play right now. Like, I'm nervous.
And so I had to figure out an excuse? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So you literally went up to Hendrix and you shook him for, like, 20 seconds. Like, wake up.
And yeah, We'll play. Don't worry. Okay.
I just want to say, Akil, you compared yourself to LeBron James, and, you know,
he did.
I do maybe agree with that, with the fact that I'm Michael, because when it matters, I'm not going to lose. I might take a couple games, but I don't lose series, especially when there's money on the line. So, you know, you could maybe think you're LeBron, pretty good all-around player, but when it comes down to it, when you get to the first one of that 10th win, you already know I'm not going to miss.
Air Elijah. Okay. This just came out. It's really interesting. The NHL, the CWC tournament is about to get going. So for all you gamers out there, make sure you hit up nhl.com/gaming for more details. They're giving away $100,000 this year, boys. And, I think we need to get Nasher and Arda on the show so we can talk all things Chell, maybe share some pointers. Maybe I can get some pointers, get my game better. Do you guys think that you could compete in a $100,000 tournament like that?
So remember last year I did a Zale NHL tournament?
Yes.
So I just thought, like, you know, random people are going to join, end up like there's like,
gamers,
like 5 gamers who are like top 10, like in PS4 and Xbox, like ever, right, who joined, and I ended up playing one in like the quarters, and he waxed me, and I played good, like I competed as hard as I think I could have. He beat me like 6-0. Like, these guys are like next level good. Like, it's unbelievable.
I heard Nasher gets busy.
I don't even think Nash is the best, though. He's just the most popular. Like, there's some guys out there who are just like there's guys out there who are better than Nasher for sure.
I don't know what it is, man. It, you know, but I mean,
saw this thing the other day. New Jersey Devils draft pick, Chris Nelson. He's a little bit older now. He's 52. So Kwame, he's a little bit younger than you, but
older than me.
Younger than you, but he basically started this company called Locker Room 13, and what it does is it picks up a player's gear and takes it to its warehouse in El Segundo, which is actually where I practiced. And basically it's cleaned there and it's stored before being delivered to the rink before your next game. So, you know, most of the clients we works with play out of my practice facility, and basically you just walk into your locker room, your gear is there, your sticks there, and your laundry's done, your foot towel's there, your everything's there, like your sandals, everything's all set up nicely. And all you really have to worry about is getting to your game on time, which wouldn't be possible for Elijah ever. But I mean, yeah, it sounds pretty cool to me. I mean, in Toronto, I know a lot of parents would probably do that. It's kind of a grind, cleaning your equipment, sorry, so much. And, you know, I don't know, like growing up, I know, like, I'm going to be honest, I would go like a month without cleaning like my equipment. So
I mean, this is nasty.
My parents could maybe appreciate it if it was affordable. And I think like for Toronto, that concept's kind of cool because it's not like, you know, in LA rinks are like pretty far from each other, especially with like LA traffic.
Right.
Toronto traffic is bad, but you can get to, you know, like Scarborough, Canlan, you can, like, from that rink, you can get to Herb Carnegie in like 45 minutes, and you can probably hit a couple rinks on the way.
Great young brother, great business. Is it for like AAA teams? Is it like for the kids basically?
I think it's more catered towards like men's league guys right now, because he was explaining that he saw a guy on a motorcycle one day with his hockey bag on his back with sticks. Wow. And he said, like, that's ridiculous. Like, what if, you know, I could make it possible for you not to do something like that? So I think it's more catered towards, you know, men's league guys, but, you know, it's not like he's going to, you know, only extend it out to them. I'm sure he'd love to get kids in it. I'm sure kids have been using it, but I think it's just more, you know, practical for, you know, an accountant to kind of have that stuff handled by, you know, a company who probably doesn't want to spend a bunch of time cleaning his equipment and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can, if you can afford it, then it's just perfect for him. So
that's dope. Moving on a little bit, before we get to our guests, I got to send a huge congratulations to the ladies of the Boston Pride for winning the Isabel Cup. Big shout out to all the teams for playing hard out there. Was hoping for a better outcome from the ladies of the six, but so it goes. E, you and me, we got it wrong from the jump. Did you get a chance to kind of watch a little bit of that? I watched a little bit of the game. I had to run out, but Boston was just running over Toronto, and there was just nothing they could do.
No, I didn't get to watch it. I was working on my essay, as I said, but you know, it's hard to win in your first year, regardless of who you have on the team. And I don't know if we've ever seen that, or if it's been a while since we've seen an organization come together, management, players, staff, team, and win in their first year. So the fact that the six were even involved in that is pretty special. And, you know, MGM scoring again, you know, doing her thing. So I think going forward, it looks like they have a pretty good group put together, and, you know, maybe it's not too far before they win.
All right. Speaking of celebrating our sisters on the ice, big shout out and congratulations to Kelsey Kozler on being named advisor to the Commissioner on Diversity and Inclusion. Her role will be the design, her role will be the design of strategic plans to support diversity, equality, and inclusion efforts to build awareness of the NWHL's commitment to its committees and to partner internally to implement these strategic plans. So big shout out to Kelsey for holding it down right there. She's going to be great for that job. She's also, in my opinion, she'd be a great announcer. So I think they need to tie her up into that as well. And also big shout out to Soroya Tinker. She's taking her other talent, which is art, and doing something really amazing. She is an amazing painter and has started Paintink, P-A-I-N-T-I-N-K. She paints with oil on canvas and ships all over North America. They're all original pieces. She takes requests, does commissions. So just hit her up on all social media at Saroya Tinker 71, S-A-R-O-Y-A-T-I-N-K-E-R 71. I'll add her link in our show description as well, but that's really amazing. I don't know if you guys ever seen her artwork, but she's really good.
Yeah, I've actually been in touch with Saroya. I'm looking to get some art. I don't know what I want to get yet, but I'm going to talk with her and, you know, support her. And, you know, I need some art room or some artwork up in my condo. So me and her have been in touch and going to get together a pretty cool piece. And, you know, once I get it, we'll promote it on the show and I'll show you guys. And, you know, it's pretty cool what she does.
I'm going to get a painting of Elijah's feet and hang up in my room.
That's as inspiration.
Inspiration, yeah.
Inspiration, and you can call it the funk.
Well, it's just inspiration because it's like
you want to get faster.
No, because you know, I'm lucky and I'm fortunate because my feet could look like that. Like I'm going to live every day and be thankful and, you know, gratitude, you know.
Does Elijah have one of them beat up?
Oh, it's unspeakable. Let's just change the topic.
Right. Let me be. I know you might edit this out, Kwame, but Akil has a full on like golf ball bump on his ankle and he gets sandpaper and sands it down.
I mean,
so we're not going to talk about my feet.
Honestly, like they're probably like a half golf ball.
Probably like a half.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's
absolutely disgusting. Yeah. But I got it from hockey, so it's nails. Who cares?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm grossed out right now. And we're going to change it up a little bit because when we come back, Quentin Byfield, Boku Imama, and DSP, Devontae Smith Pelé, joins us on the show. So our next guest, let me break it down a little something like this. First up, you know him as the highest black athlete to be drafted into the NHL. He's the big kid with the hands like butter. Bow ties are always on point. And he makes his hat trick appearance on the podcast. Welcome back to the show, QT, Quentin Byfield. What's going on, Q?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
All right, all right. Next up, this brother you don't want to play with on the ice. If you go to YouTube, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Representing the Congo by way of Montreal, Boku Imama. What's going on, B?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm good, baby. I'm good. All right, last up. I was lucky to see him play when he was tearing it up as a kid in Toronto. And my godson's father would say to me, see that black kid right there? He's going to the show, no question. He's gone on to play for a few teams in the NHL, but the most love he gets is from the Washington Capitals fans. Everyone wants him on their favorite team. If you ever need a bump on social media, all you need to do is talk about this young brother making his debut on the show, one of the most popular hockey players around, period. And they simply call him DSP. Soul brothers, soul sisters, welcome Devontae Smith Pelé. What's going on, Devo?
Not much. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. All right. This is dope, man. I'm really hyped about this episode, having you guys all on the show together with us. You know, Akil messaged us after last show and he said that we need to get the guys on the show this week because you guys were all a part of a great moment in hockey. For those who were under a rock, Q, Akil, and Devontae played on a line together. And the significance is there hasn't been too many pro teams in the history of hockey that have had an all-black line playing. So for me, this was probably the most significant line since Herb Carnegie, Ozzie Carnegie and Manny McIntyre did it in the 40s. So, Devo, how fun was it to play in that game, especially with the comeback win? You know, Akil killed it, Q killed it, all you guys killed it. How was that for you?
It was fun. I mean, I was thinking, me and Akil were talking before the game and wondering if, you know, that was the first time that had happened. And then Obviously, you know, him scoring a hat trick, shootout winner, Q getting a goal and assist. It was a good night for everybody. And we didn't really expect, you know, that to take off on social media, but it was cool to get recognized and for people to take notice.
I thought what was dope is right off the bat, like, you know, Q goes in the box. I'm sitting there shaking my head. I'm saying, what's this kid's problem? He can't just, you know, handle his business. He got to go in the box. But during the kill, you know, you intercepted the pass. I can't remember who got the pass off you, then sprung Q. So he redeemed himself coming out the box with that breakaway. What was going through your mind on that breakaway, Q?
Well, I had a feeling when I was in the box. I was like, I'm definitely a B-way here. So I was thinking about a move in the box the whole time. Then, you know, I ended up luckily getting the pass. It was Holtz on our team. He gave a nice stretch pass to me and totally just gassed the move that I was thinking of and just won with the forehand backhand five-hole there.
Nice, nice. Elijah, what were your thoughts during that game when you were watching it?
I didn't watch the game, but I saw some of the highlights after. But, you know, last episode we had Akil tell a little story about the goal before the one that tied it. And he said he went by the bench and he saw Boko coming down. And he said to Boko, go back. And, you know, I thought it was a lie. And now we have Boko here.
Yes.
To tell us if that's actually what happened.
Boko, confirm or deny.
Yeah, that's all facts.
Right.
You heard that, Elijah. Hug that.
That's all facts.
Okay, so Boko, describe it, okay? You're up in the stands because you got hurt, right? In, what was it, the second period? Or
right. No, so actually in the first.
First period, yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I had to leave the game early in the first. So I didn't get to watch the second. I was in there with the trainer and, you know, getting treated and all that stuff. But I got to watch the third. So, obviously, that's when a kill went off. And he had a series of goals. And, yeah, so on the last one, we were at the same time as we were walking down. So I was literally – he was, like, literally, like, right in front of me. We're, like, facing each other pretty much. And, yeah, he looked at me and he was saying, like, yeah, go back. Like, stay there. Like, game is not over. And then he came back and threw it out and handled it again. So good for him.
So when he's telling you to go back and chill, are you like, man, listen, I'm going to get some snacks? Or do you listen to him and go back and watch the game?
Well, I'm like, hey, the kid is feeling it right now. So I'm going to listen to him. And he was not wrong. He was not wrong.
Okay. So Devo, how was your time in the KHL, man? How was that?
It was good. It was fun. You know, I was living in Beijing for a bit. Obviously, you know, the pandemic hit and we kind of relocated to Moscow, which is a great city. So, I got to see some places, some crazy places. I went to Dubai. I went to South Korea. I did some things I thought I would never do. So overall, the hockey was good. As a whole, it was a positive experience.
You, how are you going to originally introduce yourself to Devo when you came over to the team?
Don't worry about it. It's locker room talk.
No, man. We got locker room talk here, bro.
Give us the details, Q. Details.
I was just going to go out to him and be like, yeah, I'm Quentin. You know, nice to meet you. Heard good things. You know, just like telling.
Yeah. I think that's a pure lie. I feel like you were gonna run up on him.
Oh
hell no!
Yeah, I was wearing my black Air Force the other day. You know what's happening?
Okay, Akil, out of the crew, who's got the supreme drip?
Supreme drip.
Yeah.
I mean, Q gets like a shipment from like Nike and Off-White to the rink like once a month. But he just can't seem to like put it together, you know? Like he has all the items. Just can't put it together. Like Devo and Bulks, they got some nice trip. I might have to give this one to Devo because he told me his shoes would pay for my rent for the whole year the other night. So I have to go with Devo on this one.
Devo, how are these young cats holding up, man?
Nah, they're doing well. They're doing well. They've got it. They've got some things to learn, but you know, for now they're doing well. They're on the right track.
All right, so one more, Akil. So who would you want to be downtown with this summer? I mean, summer's coming. It's L.A. Like, who are you rocking with?
Well, first of all, we'll put Q right off the table right away. I mean, Bulks and I were talking the other day. Obviously, he's from Montreal, and he was just talking about his summers there. And from the stories he told me, definitely want to hit up Montreal soon. I've been there a couple of times for hockey, but just for hockey. I want to experience Montreal, but Devo seems to know his people in Toronto, his networks and connections. So definitely want to have a time with him as well, and for him to show me around Toronto would be pretty cool.
Devo's definitely the mayor.
He might have the keys to the city. I mean, hearing a couple cup stories, like cup party stories, it's definitely you know, something that I want to get myself involved in.
Oh no.
I don't know if you can hang. These guys
can't hang. Hey, you just 5 drinks and he's done.
he's out for the night, Q.
He's done.
So bust this, man. Q, from your perspective as the young and other group, man, and being out there on that line, have you ever played with more than one black player on your team in your whole career?
I don't think so. Like, even just growing up, like, you know, minor hockey, I don't think I had, you know, any like black players on my team like that either. And then in Sudbury, we had a defenseman and a goalie, Perbu and Phillips. So, you know, those are the only two other guys I've played with. Until I got here, then being online with these two guys was, you know, a good experience. And, you know, Killa, he's an upcoming star in Devo. You know, he's a great player as well. So we had a lot of fun there.
So does this experience do anything for you? Your confidence, your swagger out there? I mean, I don't know how it is for you guys, but, you know, just imagining the fact that, you know, most of your lives, you're not really playing with a lot of other people on your same line or on your own team. Like, is this something like this that you kind of like feel is going to help you grow as a player in the game?
Yeah. You know, I think it's a cool experience. You know, just, you know, you never experienced it before. So you honestly didn't like really know, you know, what was going to happen, like, you know, off the ice and, you know, the publicity that we got and all that. But, you know, on the ice, you know what you're going to expect from, you know, each of us. You know, we played the game for a long time, and you know, all solid players. So you know, it was just a lot of fun playing out there with them.
I know you guys are all forwards, but have you ever all been on the ice at the same time?
No.
Probably not.
No, not yet. Maybe.
Devo's the grocery stick.
Stupid. Yeah. Local, what was your experience like growing up, man, back in the days? Like, have you experienced anything like what you're experiencing now being with these brothers on one squad together?
I mean, not really, but I think it happens a couple of times. Actually, my first year in Ontario, I got to play with Jordan Subban for a couple months when he was here. So, I mean, that was fun. But other than that, I don't know. I can't remember really.
And how is it being around these guys? I mean, I know you can. I know Devo's on your level, but Q and Akil, do you have to smack them around a couple of times and get them straight? Do you have to straighten them out?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Like those guys. Like I don't know what happened after 96, but they make it. They make them different. They make them different.
Yeah, definitely Bulks,
who would you say Bulks the most odd guy is out of us?
No, Bulks is mad sus.
I'm still pissed off. I'm actually still pissed off. They're pissing me off every morning with the things they're doing. But yo, Kill, to answer your question though, that's cute. Automatic.
Who's the oddest one?
Automatic. Hardest one.
Hardest.
Oh. Hey, that's what they do. That's the energy they bring to me. So.
All right.
Q. Obviously, Q.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of surprising that that you said Q, because honestly, I would have said Akil, but Devo, you and Akil were rooming together when you first got to the team. What was that like?
Honestly, it's fine. Like, I'm pretty low key and chill, so I was just chilling, had my headphones in. He's on the phone making his business calls and his personal calls. So I'm just sitting there and.
Business and personal, huh?
Yeah, I'm not listening too much. I'm not listening too much to what's going on, but it doesn't bug me. And we were just chilling, man. Honestly, so it was easy. He's an easy guy to just to room with, so it's cool.
I remember after Devo's first game, like it was his first game, like 13 months or whatever. So I knew he was going to be pretty sore after the game and whatever, pretty bagged. So we come in the room. After, and I have like my compression boots on or whatever, and we both come in and he looks at me and he looks at the boots. He's like, whatever those are, I need to put them on right now. This guy was hurting.
Yeah, bad, really bad.
So is it a hard adjustment? Like, I mean, you kind of just got put right back into the mix, Devo. Have you gotten your legs back, or you know, is it still
a little Yeah, like I'm feeling better every game. Every practice, but I wasn't sure if I was going to play. So, I mean, I practiced once, you know, I'm skating at home and doing all the right things, but it's just not the same. So, one practice and then right into a back-to-back was definitely tough, but, I'm feeling better. I mean, the team is doing well, so, I'm not hurting the team or anything, but, I'm feeling better every day.
You guys, I mean, Devo, do you even know the love you get, especially from Washington? Do you know, do you get that sense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on social media and stuff. So honestly, still like to this day, I get random DMs like all the time from people in that area. On Twitter too, I get messages and get, you know, mentioned or tagged or whatever and a lot of stuff, especially around you know, like June-ish, they always replay like the playoffs and stuff like that. That's when I get a lot of messages, so I definitely see and hear it all, and it's nice, it's special,
you know. What kind of message what kind of message though? Kind of DMs?
Just random messages saying, you know, Thanks for helping out the team. Just honestly, just random stuff, random messages, like all the time, like pretty much daily. So most of them are just saying we miss you or thank you and stuff like that. So that's cool.
Miss you.
Elijah, just from talking to us, out of us four, who do you think is the one who lives in a gated community, like very far from Toronto?
Easily.
This is easy.
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 Devo.
It's gotta be Q.
No, Q.
No.
It's gotta be Q.
I'm getting bullied here.
What's your response to that, Q?
I don't live in a gay community.
Where you live?
Yeah.
Huh? I live in Newmarket, man.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the gated community then?
Oh, it's killing. This guy, he moves weird out there.
Is he moving weird out there with you guys, man?
Oh, weird. He's changed me. Like, I used to just be, like, a calm guy. You know, nothing too much. Now, like, he says stuff to me and just makes me feel uncomfortable, you know?
You might have to talk to HR about him or something?
Yeah, like, along those lines.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Boku. You've got some of the craziest YouTube videos out there, bro. Like, I don't even know why people are messing with you. Like, I don't even know why they want to do that. Who's like the toughest guy you've had to go up against in the AHL right now? Who would you say? Or is anybody touching you? Is anybody?
No. There's some big boys. There's some big boys everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, like every year, the division kind of switch. Maybe there's a team moving out, or you know, so it's always kind of moving around. But there's definitely some big boys out there too.
I honestly think you are like, man, if you played in the 80s or the 90s, boy, they'd have loved you back then. Like, the way you play, man, they would have loved you back then. You ever study like old guys? If you were to like equate a guy you were most like back in the days, who would that be?
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I feel like with the game, the type of hockey that they were playing at the time too, I feel like it's so much different from today's game. But obviously, like I just know them all. Like I can give you a whole rundown of like the fighters from back then.
Who's the fighter you like the most, would you say? La Rock.
Gretzky.
Yeah, well, yeah. You have to give it to both Brashear and La Rock, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Brothers. You know, they did it out of Montreal too, just like me. So for sure, growing up, they were pretty special, actually, yeah.
Folks, one thing that, you know, I when I think about you as a hockey player, I think, like, obviously, like, you can fight and stuff, but you can obviously play, too. Like, you find, like, if you don't fight in a game, you find a way to be impactful in the game. Like, you can score, you can forecheck, you can make plays. But there's definitely been times where, like, you go into a game knowing you're going to fight, whether it's, you know, whether the game is fun. He was trying to dangle 14 guys through the ice, gets his leg taken out, whatever, and you come to the rink and you know you're going to fight. Like, do you find it, you know, like different trying to focus on the game and maybe not trying to think about the fight too much? Like, how does that whole process go when you're going to the rink knowing you're going to beat someone's head in?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, some days, like I already know I'm fighting like someone in the, you know, in exactly 2 weeks, I already know I'm fighting this guy. But, and sometimes like I'm trying to not to think about it too much. I'm just show up ready for the extreme at anyway. Like I'm always ready to go anyways. But yeah, obviously when, you know, there's another guy out there, you know, I gotta be more aware, especially with a team like us this year, where there's a lot of like young guys, you know, a lot of first rounders, a lot of, well, everyone, it don't matter, but just, you know, everyone. So for sure, you know, you're just trying to make sure that the guys know that, you know, you're there too, and you know we're all mm-hmm. going. So, but overall, I like it. Like it fires me up. It's a part of the, you know, it's a part of the job. It's a part of the challenge. Like if it was easy, like it wouldn't be that fun, you know.
I've got a pretty serious question for you guys, and you know, just looking, I could see Boko's kind of got it figured out. Devo's got his hat on, but you know, what's going on with the barber situation?
What's up with the wig piece?
Yeah, we're struggling. We're struggling out there. I'll take the bait for the boys. I'll wear that one for the boys, but hey, we're trying though.
No, you can't take the bait because your hairline's looking the best out of everyone right now. So it's,
yeah, but it's still bad. It's still bad.
You got the peasies. You got the peasies on the side, bro. You need to brush that. Just brush it down a little bit. You'll be good.
Yeah.
You guys should have seen the haircut Q got a couple months back. I'm surprised Boko didn't find the guy who did it to him and deal with him. It was
because I felt bad. I felt bad.
Man, you called the guy. Barber
though. So is there really no good barber out there? Like where you guys are living?
No, is it like, are they locked down in LA right now? You can't really like the barbershops and all that stuff.
Like we just have to be like careful, like where we're going to.
See, you guys need to talk to a few people out there. Get a couple links. Get some barbers to come down there and check you out and hook you up. Q, you seem like a man of the streets. You ain't got no connects yet?
Actually, I did. I was showing Dio the other day. I got like a DM from barbershop in there. I think they're like more downtown LA, and they want us to come out and check that spot out. So I think that's the next place I might go. But you know, you just have to be like so like precautious with, you know, COVID and everything. You don't want to be the guy that brings back the team, or like you don't want in the first place either. So
how are you? How is your experience in LA so far, Q? You liking it? Have you ever been out to LA before?
No, I haven't actually. So this is my first time, you know, enjoying the weather. So last couple of days been really nice. So going to the beach as much as I can, but you know, it's a good experience so far. I like the lifestyle.
Here's a question. I mean, I know you guys are around each other a lot, but you know, I'll ask you this one, Devo. Out of these guys, who's the one that's always, you know, the lover boy? Who's the one that's always on the phone? Who's that guy that's not focused?
Should we just let him talk?
Well, like I wouldn't say not focused. Like, okay. I'm not gonna say that about him.
Okay. But
and I hate to tell on him, but like I gotta answer the question, but
please,
it's gotta be Killer.
Killer, it's right?
Yeah. I'm not gonna get into specifics, but it's him.
You caught on a date yesterday, man.
I'm not even gonna say what we saw yesterday, but I'm not gonna get into detail. I don't wanna get him in trouble.
So let's go back to the game last week when you guys were all playing. You know, did you guys know the history? Did you guys know about like Herb Carnegie and Ozzie Carnegie and Manny McIntyre? Did any of you guys ever know about that all black line back in like the 1940s?
I've heard of it once, but I didn't wasn't really on my mind. Like as soon as we were on the line together, I wasn't like, oh, like this is going to be, you know, the second or third one since them. It was kind of in the back of my mind, tucked away.
But you guys do understand how important that visual is just for the growth of hockey. I mean, and I'll give this to you, Devo. I don't mean it as, you know, we're breaking any records or anything like that. But, you know, just the simple fact there's some young black kids, some boys or even girls that are out there seeing you guys do that. And they're thinking, man, we could be online potentially together. Like, you understand that though, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when I'm younger and I'm watching hockey, you know, you don't see too many people that look like you. And what inspired me was, you know, guys who I was able to see, like Wayne Simmonds, Anthony Stewart, Chris Stewart. I was able to see that those guys made it. And I saw them on the ice. I saw them playing. So for any little kid, I mean, they're just watching the game and they see three people that look like them, four people that look like them. You know, that can change their whole life for sure.
I know in the usual year you're doing like community events and going out places, but have you guys been able to do anything like that to kind of give back?
Q?
Not really.
Yeah, no, not really. Not right now. You know, I think I speak for all of us, but I know like we definitely would want to, but you know, with the circumstances, you can't really put anyone at risk right now.
Boku, you what are your plans as far as participating in helping the growth of the game in minority communities? You know, that's a big thing that's happening right now. What do you want to contribute?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. For sure, I want to be a part of it. I think any way I can chip in, whether it's, you know, back home in Montreal to all the way here in LA with, you know, with Q, Killer, Devo, you know, whatever it is, I just want to be a part of it and just help the best way I can, and you know, hopefully bring it to you know, a bigger point at some point.
So as I think you guys know, but I played with Elijah in Niagara for a few years, and we had another black guy on our team. His name's Landon Cato. He was kind of like the Q of our group, so you already know what's going on there. But basically I just thought it was cool, you know, just, you know, the types of jokes you can kind of tell them are a little bit different. Like you can just relate to them a little bit more. It felt there felt like there was a little bit more of a presence when maybe it was just us three or something. You guys kind of know what I mean. Like, there's not a connection, but there's a different kind of presence there. It's kind of like maybe if you're in, you know, if you're in Europe playing on a, you know, in the KHL like Devo did, and there's a couple of guys from Toronto on the team, like you can make kind of, you know, different jokes and relate to them a little bit more, right? Like
100%.
Right now, yeah. I can say like, Q, like your hairline looks like a stock, a graph chart, like stuff like that, right? So like,
no, I know what you mean. There's more of like there's more of an understanding, you know, just you know, just being able to play with these guys. So
it's like the first time you sounded smart, but Devo,
you're struggling to find that word the whole time. I'll just help you.
I was just trying to explain it, brother. But Devo, like, have you ever kind of like, do you understand what I'm saying? And like, could you kind of
for sure.
Yeah, just build on that. So
I understand what you're saying. For example, to use me as an example, I mean, I obviously came in new. You guys knew each other. You guys have been on the same team. And so I'm coming in fresh and not knowing anyone, but it's just easier to kind of break into the group when I can break into this little group that we have here too. Mm. It's just easier me to be comfortable right off the bat with these guys. And then obviously that in turn, you know, turns into, you know, goes into the group. So if I came to a new team and I didn't know anyone and no one looks like me, no one's from where I'm from, it would take a little bit longer for me to open up. But, you know, coming here, you know, first day I'm rooming with Killer, and, you know, his buddies were at my parents' house for my brother's birthday. Right off the bat, we have something we can talk about. Mm. Boom, boom, boom. And it just goes from there. So it definitely helped me having these guys who, you know, I can make these jokes with right off the bat, kind of help me get comfortable and then, you know, get comfortable with the whole group after that.
Akil and Q, like you both kind of said, you've played with other Black players, but for your whole life, they've always been around your age. Like, how is it different with like Boko being older, Devo being older?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know, we're so close now that, like, obviously they're older than us, and you know what, but it doesn't necessarily feel like they're, like, you know, that much older than us. We know we're like the young guys on the team, but I mean, it's kind of normal now, I guess, like, just from talking to Devo about his time in Toronto, it's just kind of like, whoa, like, I want to do that too throughout my years and stuff like that. I don't know, it doesn't really, you know, they were obviously like the little brothers to them, but like they don't big dog us, that's for sure.
These guys ever get too comfortable?
They have it easy, for sure. They have it easy.
Yeah, me and Boca are too nice. We're too nice sometimes.
So nice.
Hugh, how do you see it?
Ah, I get the questions. No, I see it like the same way as Killer. Like, it doesn't really like show anymore. But you know, when it comes down to like when you're in the locker room stuff, you know who's the older presence in the room, and you know who has more control of the situation and stuff like that. We're more comfortable, so you definitely look to those guys in those situations. But just, you know, just around the streets, you know, we all feel like we're the same age, even though Devo's like 50 years old.
There's nothing wrong with being 50, okay, Q? Just relax.
Yeah.
But he still acts like he's like 15, so it's good.
Yeah.
Boku, out of these two light-skinned brothers, which is the one that thinks they're the pretty boy? Q or Akil?
So who thinks is a pretty boy? I think Q thinks a pretty boy. He thinks he's like a 10. Like, he thinks he's still good looking.
So, okay, so with you guys all on the team, tell me the music has changed a little bit.
I mean, since I'm here, I feel like it's changed a little bit. Guys been trying to, like, mix it up a little bit in the playlist, throwing out a little bit more of rap. And, yeah, since I feel like now it's pretty much rap. I would say, like, 70% of the time now, right?
Is it good vibe inside the locker room?
So it did change.
I mean, so yeah.
Guys like it too.
It's good, but like Boko will put on his mixes and like, I'm not going to lie, guy. I've stolen a couple songs. Like, I'm not going to say it's
fire.
Fire. But it's been good.
Devo, you've been in a couple of serious locker rooms. Out of all the locker rooms you've been in, which would you say had the best vibe musically?
Musically?
Yeah.
I would say, honestly, probably this one. I mean, it's like Boko said, 70% rap, which is what I'm into. And then, you know, there's a little bit of mixture. So dressing rooms I've been in before, not to knock anyone's taste or anything, but there's a lot of like country and
still going on, eh? It's still going
on. Like hard techno, but I mean, that's what they like. I don't mind it, but you know, the tunes have been pretty good so far around here.
Laj, what you'll be disappointed to hear is Boko over here is a country guy himself as well. Mm-hmm.
I just heard that 70% of the music is rap, and out of all the years Devo's played, this is the best music room. So I'm not gonna knock Boko. I just hope I just hope the aux never gets in your hands or
Elijah. Hands
Yo, who the
aux? Smart. You quit.
Boko, this guy showed up to a game in Niagara wearing cowboy boots.
Oh my God.
And how did the game go?
What was this?
You were dash five.
No.
Oh, like, that's what happened.
No, New Year's game 3 years ago. Remember the game? Go check it out.
So what happened? What happened?
What do you mean? What happened? We won, and I put up points.
How many?
I know. If you're gonna do something bold like that, you better go and play a good game.
No, Bulks. Sure. You won't believe this guy. Though? This guy pulled up in a game. Wearing a suit and a Lakers jersey as his dress shirt underneath. No cap.
Elijah's busting. I bet you it looked pretty dope, though. I think you can rock it and give it some sort of style. I'm with you, Elijah. I got to see it, though.
He is missing a tooth.
that just throws
what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that, killer?
Nothing to you. You're good.
Hey, I'm telling you from now, you better stop with that because you got a lot of years left of hockey.
Yeah.
Anybody who keeps talking like, oh, he's missing teeth.
My teeth are too strong to get knocked out, Elijah.
Oh my God. I can't wait. Next game.
Put the jinx on him.
You're speaking it into existence right now. It's going to, you're just asking for it to happen.
I don't know if Akil could handle it if his tooth got knocked out. Like,
Kwame, I got a slap shot to my cranium and I handled it. I think I'll be fine.
But I'm saying losing that tooth when it says it's not coming back. Like, I think a guy like you, that's gonna throw your confidence off a lot. So you got to be careful.
I'm handsome regardless.
He's saying no teeth, you're good.
I'm good.
Look like a monkey.
No. Yeah.
Okay, so Busters, Devo, I told a couple people online that you're coming on, and they were just like, hey, you got to ask him about the playoff run. So 7 goals in 2018 playoffs, including the tie goal in game 5. After that historic run for the Capitals, is it one of those things where you're like, you're over it, it's been there, done that? Let's go on 4, or do you still think about that? And how was that run?
I don't know. I still think about it sometimes. Like I said before, like when the date comes around, that's when I start getting probably the most messages. It's not like I watch the highlights or anything anymore. If it's on, I'll watch
it. He said anymore. So in other words,
after it happened, like I watched that game over, I watched that game over a lot after it happened. But so like now at this point, I mean, it's obviously in the back of my head. And if anyone wants to ask questions or talk about it, I'll talk about it. But, you know, it's special. It's still there, but, you know, I'm trying to still live, you know, in the present time.
Dig it.
Remember Devo's first practice, we're doing a 2-on-1 and the D was kind of taking the pass away. So I just shot and I hit the post and went in the corner. And just in line, he came out to me. He's like, hey, like,
I know he like took the pass away, but like I had 7 and 18.
No.
And he walked in first practice too with his cup ring on.
He did, eh? No.
Yeah, he did. He did. It was shining. It was
so cocky, man.
I would have you should have a fat dookie ring or a gold chain with the ring on the bottom of that and just tuck it in your shirt, bro. Where is your ring? Where's your Stanley Cup ring?
It is in a safe at my my parents' house, so it's locked away.
No, I'm going.
What? You got to get the combo.
Yeah,
Did you follow Devo during that playoff run? Did you get a chance to watch that?
I mean, I was watching it. Maybe not Devo, but. No, I was following it. It was really cool, you know, seeing him score, you know, a couple big goals there. Yeah, it was good to see for sure.
But Devo, you know what though? I there's a couple of guys that always bring it during the playoffs, and that's you. I mean, ever since you were playing in Anaheim, you were just that guy in playoffs that you could always depend on. So you know, I mean. Any team would be smart to have you playing with them when it counts. And I remember in Anaheim you got to play with Emerson Edom. That must have been pretty special as well.
Yeah, you know I've known him for a long time actually. Even though he's from California, we played like summer hockey together. So to get drafted to the same team and you know we were roommates and to play together, that was special, and that would have been. One of the first times that I played with another Black hockey player, and obviously we're still close to this day and still talk all the time.
Is he in LA still?
He is in Missoula coaching junior hockey there.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where he spends his summers. He was out here a couple years ago, but he might be just staying out there and getting that program together.
He was actually at camp last year with LA.
Yeah.
He's
coaching now. Everything.
Yeah, he's coaching now.
You know, again, being able to, you know, when you obviously got hurt, you got to see these guys along. Did you yourself see the significance, or even besides seeing those guys play on the same line together, just you four on the same team? Do you understand the significance this has for growing the game and for young kids that look like us to be able to see?
It's huge. If you go back for a season ago, you know, I don't know if you remember that big story about me getting called a slur by that Bakersfield player. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I don't want to go back by those events, but
you don't listen, like, you don't have to go back. All you have to say is I dealt with it when he came back. That's all you got.
There you
say.
Go. Yeah, I dealt with it. Anyways. But obviously, you know, in the few days, like let's not lie, you kind of feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it kind of replays in your head. You're like, you know, you're going through the situation, you know. And you know, at the time I was the only Black guy on the team, right? And if I can't, let's say this event was about to happen this year, or, you know, I have, you know, more guys like me on the team. I don't even know if I would have been affected at all. I think I would have just went back to the bench, look at those guys, tell them what happened, and we're probably just gonna, you know, shake it off or laugh about it or whatever. It would have been no big deal, but for sure feeling that, that there's, you know, like Devo said earlier, like more guys, you know, that you can relate to and stuff like that. For sure, it's a little bit more comforting, for sure.
Mm.
Were you watching the draft when Q got drafted, and did you kind of know that could all kind of come together and you could have some more Black players on your team the upcoming year?
I think I had one of my friends like the day before the draft, or 2 days before the draft, that texted me that, you know, there's a good chance that LA might draft a Black guy. And yeah, and then, you know, a couple months later, you know, I wish they didn't. Nah, I'm good.
But you know, I mean, this is for everyone. Elijah, Akil, Boku said something that was really interesting to me was, you know, when that situation happened to him, he felt kind of alone. And people don't really understand what that's like to be the only one in a space. And then you're working hard to be in that space. And then to get called out, either like with what happened with Devo in Chicago, or Boku when he's playing, you know, like, you know, how would you describe that for people, Devo? How would you describe the fact that, like, yeah, I'm getting paid some good money, I'm here doing something that I really love, but you know what? These words do affect me because it's just something I just don't want to hear.
It's tough to explain. I mean, like, when that happened to me in Chicago and I went back in the room, I mean, like, those guys had my back and they, you know, were saying, you know, that all that's garbage and stuff, but, you know, like, I'm still pissed off, and, you know, all they can do is just say, like, oh, that's, you know, that's bullshit. And then they just, you know, leave the room and that's it. And then they don't really have to think about it too much after that. So it's just like, it's a hard thing to explain, because I know those guys cared, but it would never happen to them. It just can't, like, so it doesn't, it just hits them differently. So it's like I said, it's tough to explain, but, you know, I feel Boku in that loneliness. It's a weird feeling.
And I think what's really the part that I look at the most is that, you know, at you guys' level, it may happen every once in a while, more so from fans, but there's a lot of young brothers and sisters out there, and it's happening to them to this day constantly. So Boku, what would be your advice to that young player of color that's going through this, and that may have to, you know, deal with a situation where they're getting called out for the color of their skin?
I mean, all I can say, just to, you know, you just gotta, how can I, you gotta accept it, like, in the right way, you know, like, it's, I know it might sound weird to say, but, you know, you just gotta take it and move on, and you gotta turn something so negative into something, you know, positive. And, you know, me, you know, scoring, I remember going back to that event after the thing happened, and then I got to fight him the next day, and I finished the next game on the Gordie Howe hat trick. And I remember all the messages that I received from, like, young Black hockey players or parents, et cetera. They were just so inspired by, you know, the fact that I came back and I did that. So, I mean, that's the same thing I could say to, you know, the younger generation. Just, you know, accept it, keep moving, and just, you know, kill it.
All right. So listen, boys, you know, I this has been great to have you guys on the show together. You know, rocking on. What are you guys thinking about Akil and his many ventures? He's got the clothing, podcast, Sweet Boy. He's probably going to come out with an R&B record pretty soon. Q, what are your thoughts on what he's doing? And are you saying to yourself, I need to get myself, an R&B album as well? Because I know you light-skinned brothers love to sing.
Yeah, no, I'm booling. I think it's good, you know, what he's doing, just, you know, branding himself and being able to, like, reach out and start, you know, just other stuff and setting himself up for, you know, life after hockey as well. And, you know, I think he's inspired a lot of young, you know, just hockey players and, you know, just you and the younger generation of color, just, you know, kind of just do what they're passionate about and aspire to be. So, you know, I think it's good on him, honestly.
Has he hooked you up with some Zale gear?
He made me pay for it.
He made you pay for it, right?
Hey, no, listen to that.
Always. Hey, I'm
you,
right.
You would think, listen to
that. Your boys want to support you, though, right?
Listen, not to cute. This. So he's like, yeah, what'd you want from Zale? I'm like, oh, like, they're free? Like, what?
Yeah, I've been coming.
He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll take some sweats. They come in. He's like, yeah, yo, you owe me like $60.
Mm.
I was like, what? Like,
$60.
You're a scammer.
Devo, you get your Zelle yet? You get your Zelle?
I didn't. Akil offered to give me some for free, and I told him I would pay for it too. So I'm still waiting on it, but I'm going to get it.
You're still waiting on it. But I love Devo's. You're supporting the young business minds and trying to hook it. Boku, you're rocking a little Zelle right there. Looks good.
I'm rocking it. I got it first order. I made sure, you know, I show some support to my man.
Okay.
And, you know, on this podcast, I'm giving it some screen time too.
Okay. All right. Your man, eh? Listen, I appreciate you guys being on here. So listen, you know, Quentin, you know, we do the top five at the end of our show. Devo, Boku, since this is your first time on the show, we're going to do it like this. All right. At the end of our show, we give our guests five songs. So we'll divide it up into the three of you guys. Devo, you got two songs. Boku, you got two songs. Quentin, you got one song. Give me a song that is totally hype that's going to get you ready. So Boku, you're up first. If you know you got to get busy the next game, what are two songs you want to listen to before you get out on the ice?
All right. My first one, it's more of like an EDM style, so it's more for everybody. I'll go with Tiesto, The Business.
Tiesto, The Business? I mean, if you got to, what's the next one?
The next one, I'll bring it right back to my style. Back in Blood.
Precisely. Back in Blood.
Okay. Devontae, you got two songs. Give me some. I know you're gonna come with some flavor in the air. Let's go.
I'm not gonna lie, Boku took my first one, but Drake, what's Tiesto? Next would be no, not Tiesto. Pusheisty. So Drake, What's Next would be my first one probably.
All right.
And can I duplicate? Can I say the same one as Boku or no?
No, it's five songs, bro.
Armed and Dangerous, Juice WRLD.
Yeah.
Got you. Quentin Byfield, the youngest of the bunch. You got the last song. This is the song that everybody's going out on to the ice with. Okay, that's the last song you're gonna hear in the locker room. Give it to me. Please, for God's sake.
Yeah, R.A.P. King Von, Crazy Story.
Elijah, approve?
Yeah. I don't know about that first Tiesto song, but kind of approve of the rest.
Crazy Story.
Yeah. I didn't expect to be straight. You know. My bad.
So Quentin, what would be your guilty pleasure? The song that you would like to listen to that you don't want to tell too many people that you listen to?
Yeah, my guilty pleasure song before a game is Animals by Nickelback. Gets me fired up.
Okay, everybody knows. Big shout out to Nickelback. Good Canadian band. Quentin Byfield, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Boku Imama, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And you guys, I really hope you understand your presence for all of us in the game of hockey. And I hope you guys, like, you know, just take it to the next level. I'd love to see all four of you guys playing in the show all on the same team. That would be just incredible. So thank you guys for rocking with us, man. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
That was Quentin Byfield, Boku Imama, and Devontae Smith-Pelle hanging out with the boys, rocking with the best. I thought that was one of our most fun episodes. Akil, sum it up, being around those guys day in, day out, going to war with them on the ice. How cool is that for you as a pro hockey player?
Can you say Devontae Smith-Pelle's name again?
Devontae Smith-Pelle.
Why do you say Pelle? So weird. Whenever you say it, it kills me. I couldn't focus. I had to ask.
I don't know. I don't know. Isn't it? How do you say it?
You say Pelle? Smith-Pelle. And whenever you say you're like Devon Smith Pelé.
Oh, well, I'm giving it some flavor.
All right.
I think it's some flavor.
All right. Okay.
some seasoning, but
seasoning.
No, it's great. Like, you know, I come to the rink like happy to see the guys every day. It's just a, like, not just us. Like, it's just an amazing vibe with the whole team. Like, we have a team full of great guys who, there's so many high draft picks and, like, high-profile guys in our team who, you know, started the year in the show, have came down, and, like, obviously in the back of your mind, you're not happy about that. You don't want to be in the AHL. You want to be in the NHL, and some of them could be in the NHL. They're very good. It's just a situation of the organization, but, like you would never be able to tell like who's who in our locker room. We're all the same. We're all treating each other like the same, and it's just like a great team dynamic. And you know, obviously the little, you know, connection we have there with the brothers on the team, it's unreal. It's jokes every day. There's not, you know, one day where I don't go to the rink, and it's just not jokes all day. Like we're laughing, you know, all day. And it's just like, it's something I'll never forget, to be honest. This is probably going to be one of my favorite years of a pro hockey, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I think I learned a lot about Akil today from his teammates, both the parts that were recorded and not recorded. So, you know,
don't get it twisted, Elijah. Don't get it twisted.
Just listening to those guys, you could hear how much fun they have. And
yeah,
you know, it's, some things I thought about Akil, I now know, and other things that I didn't know, I now know. And, you know, as soon as we're done with this call, I might have to bring things to our group chat that I've discovered and, you know.
Put them on blast.
Put them on blast.
It wasn't me.
You know, I really, like, because I'm the guy that's always thinking of the future, I just really feel that what you guys are doing has the opportunity to really inspire a lot of kids out there. I don't know if you know this, Akil, but your boss, Luke Robitaille, reached out to me through his assistant, and they want a poster of the graphic Brother B made for last week's historic outing. I thought that's really cool that, you know, it's something that has been resonating throughout the hockey world. And, you know, again, I know we talked about this last week, but just being a part of that piece of history has got to be something really cool. And just, you know, they always say, like, if you enjoy your workplace, you're going to have fun every day. You won't work a day in your life. And it just seems like for you guys, it's just like, oh my God, this got to be the funnest thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I'm not surprised. That's just the type of organization, you know, the Kings are. Mm-hmm. After the game, we had our helmet, gloves, and stick sent to the Hockey Hall of Fame. So
nice.
That'd be pretty cool. Me, Q, and Devo. Sorry, folks. But, yeah, so that's going to be pretty cool. If I go back, you know, to the Hockey Hall of Fame whenever it's open, now I can see – you know, my stick from Old Jays, and then, you know, that accomplishment we just did. So that's pretty cool to be kind of in the Hockey Hall of Fame twice now. And then my dad was in it. So
it's your dad's cool. In the Hall of Fame?
So basically it's like a puck from a championship that he assisted on. So I mean, kind of, right? We'll count it.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I was kind of looking at some of our past episodes, and I realized that this episode today, it marks our 1 year anniversary of doing episodes on the show. So it's pretty special that, you know, we committed to this, and, you know, the fact that we've been going for 1 year, and a lot of podcasts and shows and things come together, and it doesn't hit that 1 year part because people can't commit to things or they have fallouts with people. But the fact that the three of us have been able to stick to this and put out content every week for the most part, it's pretty special.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's pretty dope. And I didn't even realize you know, 1 year anniversary and stuff like that. I mean, I just, it just, it's just fun. And it's hard, but it's fun, you know, whenever we get to do this. I think regardless, you know, 5,000 listeners, it's just, it's fun to be able to do this. And, you know, as an ex-radio announcer, it's always great to get on the mic and just, you know, interview people and just talk things. So, you know, happy anniversary, boys. Thanks for giving me that call. How, what, 2 years ago to say, let's do a podcast, and we finally do it. So.
Yeah, but one thing I was just thinking about earlier was like the amount of guests we've had on the show and like the caliber, and like just the, you know, being able to interview, you know, someone I've looked up to for a very long time and just to get some insight and stuff like that. So it's been a good year. We've accomplished a lot, and you know, now being a podcast under the NHL, it's pretty cool, and you know, it's we can actually, you know, have an impact, and it's cool to see people recognize that. So it's been awesome, you know, just talking for a full year with you guys.
Yeah, man. So here's to 1 year, and here's to many more. And thank you. You know, this is a big thank you also to everybody that consistently listens to us every week. I know people say to me that they, you know, listen to it when they are working out at home, you know, on their computer, while they're working, whatever it may be. So that's really cool that they're checking us out. So we'll keep it moving, as long as you guys keep it moving with us. And with that being said, for Elijah Roberts and Akil Thomas, my name is Kwame, and we are out. Bong bong.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah, soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Trees are dusting, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness, shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, it's time for lunch. Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and older, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, 'cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jaden Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinta. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***, only really want a house for the gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. Young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. 'Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. When our numbers come through the TV, soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.